Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The Northwest Missouri State University Wind Symphony will be in concert this evening. Dr. Doug Overmeyer is the director of the symphony. He says tonight's concert will include a guest vocalist.
We're moving out just slightly from the traditional band concert for this one. We have a singer coming in from Atlanta, and she's recording a number of different pieces, and she's chosen us to do one of these recordings, and she's going to be singing Son of a Preacher Man. So we've done an orchestration for that. So we've got a singer in among the entertainment. The symphonic band will be playing some traditional music. The Wind Symphony will be playing some of the toughest band music, including Granger's Lincolnshire Posy and Frank Ticelli's Vesuvius. And then we'll be doing Son of a Preacher Man also. And we're unveiling a brand new ensemble, and there's only seven of them in the world. We've got one right here at Northwest. It's called a jazz percussion group, and they're going to be performing, and of course we've invited our guest singer to sing with them as well. So there's definitely going to be a very entertaining evening.
You have a lot going on in this concert.
We do.
How did it come about that you had a vocalist come and join you?
Well, before I came to Northwest, I was a member of a very active jazz quintet, and we had had a number of singers sing with us, and this particular gal had sung with us and done a number of wonderful things. And as I became more involved here at Northwest and she became more involved in projects, we stayed in touch, and we happened to collaborate on this particular project. And so instead of trying to get a group together back in Georgia, we decided to use the really fine ensembles we've got here at Northwest. And so we're real excited to be participating and actually be considered for the recordings.
So has she selected Northwest to record this with her, or she's just listening to see how things go?
Well, she has selected Northwest, so if we don't get a good take at the concert, we're going to have to go back to the rehearsal room and do it again. So
this will be the recording itself then?
Yes, it will.
Oh, yeah. How exciting.
I know. We are really excited about it.
Who is the vocalist who will be coming?
Her name is Lee Nichols, and she's from Buford, Georgia. She performs in the Atlanta area, and she's starting to catch fire there. And I can promise you, she'll be a big name pretty soon. She's not an American Idol contestant yet, but she should be.
What genre does she sing?
She was trained as a classical vocalist, and that's where I ran into her. And she was starting to get into some more popular music, and especially jazz. And she's got a really good voice for jazz. And so I became involved in this project, and she was involved with a band that I was working with previously. And when this came up and they needed a vocalist for this idea, we talked about using Lee. She came in and sang, and everybody goes, oh, this is the person we want. And so we're trying to get a really good recording of Preacher Man so that we can put this together in this collection. So hopefully we'll be able to fulfill that requirement.
And then tell me about the ensemble, too. What is that?
The Jazz Percussion Group is a jazz band of just percussion instruments. So we'll be using the traditional jazz rhythm section that you find in every jazz band, a piano, bass, and drums. And then we'll be playing all of the harmonic and melodic parts on marimbas and vibraphones. And there's some improvisation, there's some vocalization, and there's some other things. And so it's only 6 weeks old, really, so it's going to be coming right out of the gate and gigging on its first outing. So this is going to be kind of interesting, but we're going to give it a shot and get their ears in tune for what they need to have coming up later. So,
why take on a project like this?
A number of reasons. There is something that cannot be recreated in a classroom, no matter how good your faculty are or how wonderful your facilities, and that's performance experience. And so our students, in order to be competitive with other students, and really to rise above that, have got to realize the performance opportunities also help in their teaching, help in their playing, and help them prepare their students in the future. And because we have such a strong educational program here and such a strong music program, I want to give as many experiences to our students as possible so that not only can they go out and compete, but also succeed as Northwest graduates.
Who will be the students who are involved in this group?
Actually, we're going to have a lot of the music students and some of the non-music majors, and that's another reason for starting this group, as another outreach for another form of expression that every student on Northwest can actually play in. So it's not just a music major only thing. As a matter of fact, even though it's a percussion ensemble, more than half of the group play other instruments. So it's kind of funny. We've got students playing four mallets that have never played a percussion instrument before in their lives.
What kind of percussion instruments will be involved?
Well, two vibraphones, two marimbas, and then we'll have piano, bass, and drums. So just to keep the typical rhythm section going in a jazz kind of a concert. And we've rescored some of the notes so that it sounds better, and it's a little bit more rhythmically active than you would normally hear, but it's a very surprisingly pleasing sound. We've had really good luck with this in the past, and so I'm really hoping that this catches on here at Northwest.
You have so much going on in this concert. Is it fair for me to ask what it is that you're looking forward to most?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to having people stay overnight. No, actually, the variety itself is really the fun part about it. You know, here's the symphonic band full of students who are playing because they like to, and they're pretty good at it. And then there's the jazz percussion group, which is a novel group. You're not going to probably see another one in your lifetime. And we're going to have one of the world's seven of them right here on campus. And so that is going to be kind of exciting. I'm very curious to see how that goes over. And then there's the Wind Symphony, who has this wonderful way of taking some of the most black and white notes on a page and turning it into the most wonderful sound you'd ever want to hear.
That was the director of the Northwest Missouri State University Wind Symphony, Dr. Doug Overmeyer. He says the Wind Symphony will perform this evening at 8 o'clock. It'll be at the Charles Johnson Theater in the Fine Arts Building on the Northwest campus. The concert is open to the public. Southwest Iowa Theater Group is bringing a popular musical to the stage this weekend and next weekend. Director Stan Orton says the theater group will be presenting the classic Hello, Dolly.
It was originally done in, 1964 in New York, and Carol Channing was the leading lady and went on to become a classic of the American musical theater.
For people not familiar with the story, can you tell me what that is?
Hello, Dolly is based on a prior play called The Matchmaker, and it was turned into a musical by Jerry Sherman and produced by Gower Champion. Dolly Levi is a widow and a matchmaker by profession, and this story takes place in the 1890s. In and around New York City and its suburbs. And there's a fella in the suburbs named Horace Vandergelder, who is a well-to-do widower. And he's kind of lonely, and he employs the services of Dolly Gallagher to find him a new mate. And Dolly sends him on some misdirected trips, all in good fun. Misdirected trips through some ladies that she knows will not be suitable, because little does Horace know that the lady she has in mind is Dolly herself. And so we got a lot of misdirection there and an arranged romance. Along the way, we meet two young couples, two young men who are the employees of Mr. Vandergelder, and two late young ladies who work in a hat shop in New York City. And, of course, they discover love. This is what it's all about, right? Love and romance and lots of fun. And Hello, Dolly is a family show, and lots of humor, song and dance, and should be lots of fun for anybody from 8 to 80.
What are some of the songs that we might recognize?
The signature song, of course, is Hello, Dolly. We've heard a lot of different versions of Hello, Dolly over the years to include Louis Armstrong, although we don't have Louis in our show. Ribbons Down My Back, It Only Takes a Moment, Before the Parade Passes By, and others. There's lots of good fun things. Our theater is an intimate theater. It seats 150 people. There isn't a bad seat in the house, and the acoustics are fine. Even if you're sitting in the back row, you can see every wink, every lifted eyebrow, every smile, hear every note, hear every word. And that's a joy of an intimate theater where you're up close and personal with the actors. We've got 26 very talented people on the stage. And they've been working hard since mid-December to bring folks a good show.
Are they all from Shenandoah?
Are they all from Shenandoah? Heavens no. And that's kind of a proud thing, too. We've got folks from Clarinda, Maryville, Sarkio, Hamburg, Iowa, Sydney, Iowa, Shenandoah, Iowa, Clarinda, Iowa, Red Oak, Iowa, and all points in between. Yeah, it's the Southwest Iowa Theater Group, and yep, we even accept some people from Missouri.
That was the director of the Southwest Iowa Theater Group's production of Hello, Dolly, Stan Orton. He says curtain time for the musical is Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock, both weekends. The play will be at the Park Playhouse in Shenandoah, Iowa. Tickets are available by calling the box office at 712-246-1061. The Northwest Missouri State University Tower Choir will be on stage this weekend. Director Dr. Stephen Town says the choir will be joined on stage by the Lewisburg High School Select Choir from Lewisburg, Kansas.
Last year, that group was at the Kansas Music Educators Association State Conference. So they have to be good to get there. So this year, Jason was looking for a boost for his program, something of that magnitude, and I decided to invite him to come and sing with the Tower Choir. This has worked well in the past when I ask choirs of all kinds to come and sing with us. They find this to be a real honor. It's a real exciting thing for them, and it usually produces some very good concerts.
What is the advantage of inviting high school students to take the stage with college students?
Well, I suppose there are a couple anyway. From an administrative standpoint, the vocal director can present that information to his administrators and say, look, I'm doing fabulous work at my school. I've gotten this invitation from such and such university to come and share the stage with one of their choral ensembles. That's a real honor for us. From the standpoint of the high school students get to hear what a fine college or university choral ensemble sounds like, what kind of literature they're singing, and also then our students get to see exactly where specific programs are in the high school, and they can think about, oh, well, that may be a place that I want to go and student teach, or, oh, that's a school I hadn't thought about, oh, you know, I really hadn't even thought about what it's like in high schools other than my own high school from where I've come from. So at least those are two things I would list.
What kind of music will we be hearing during the concert?
Well, I think we have a variety. Lewisburg is presenting three selections, and they're doing a piece by a well-known composer, Barnum, Afternoon on a Hill. He's become rather famous in the last several years. They look like they're doing a madrigal piece, Tutto lo di mi dice, and then they're doing another well-known piece by McTeer, Stars I Shall Find. The Tower Choir is doing a wide variety of things. We're doing a piece by Eric Whitaker, Leonardo Dreams of His Flying Machine. That's a big, big piece, and I have to have the right group to do it, and this was the year to do it, so we're going to do that piece. We're doing an ethnic number, Salve Regina, to the Mothers in Brazil, which is rather percussive. A spiritual, Ask the Watchman, and then we've got a piece called All Works of Love, which uses words by Mother Teresa. So
it sounds though you're like you're excited to have a group who can perform the first selection that you'll be performing.
Oh yeah, it's really fun to have these groups here. But in terms of the Tower Choir and the Leonardo Dreams of His Flying Machine that they're doing, yeah, I'm very excited about that piece. That's a very, very big piece. Not every group can do it. Our university students love Eric Whitaker. They really take to this number. It's a number that they've dreamed of doing for a long, long, long time. And they're doing it, and they're going to do it well, too.
That was the director of the Northwest Missouri State University Tower Choir, Dr. Stephen Town. He says Sunday's concert will be in the Fine Arts Building at the Charles Johnson Theater on the Northwest Missouri State University campus. The program begins at 3 o'clock and is open to the public. First Thursday of March is next week. That means it's time for another First Thursday Noontime Concert. Concert organizer and director of music at First Presbyterian Church in downtown St. Joseph, Jerry Anderson, says this month his choir and bell ensemble from the church will celebrate the season.
The season we're going to be using is Lent up through the end of Holy Week with Good Friday. There'll be no Easter music on this particular one. We're going to concentrate on Lent and Holy Week. We'll have the bell choir and then the sanctuary choir, along with some instruments playing with us, and we'll be singing anthems that go from the first Sunday of Lent on through Good Friday, as I said, including Monday, Thursday, and Palm Sunday. So it should be some very appealing and very uplifting things to listen to.
Can you name some of the selections that we'll be able to hear during this program?
Lord, who throughout these 40 days, the ending will be a glorious rendition of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Go to Dark Gethsemane.
What do you like about performing in this concert?
Well, we get a lot of people from other churches there. We usually attract a fairly sizable audience because of the quality of our music program at First Presbyterian is pretty well known, and the people seem to enjoy it so much. And so it's always a pleasure to perform for people who don't hear us that often and who seem to really enjoy it.
Jerry Anderson is the music director at First Presbyterian Church in St. Joseph. The First Thursday Noontime Concert will be next Thursday, beginning at 12:10 at the First Presbyterian Church at 7th and Jules Streets. The concert should last about 35 minutes. Those attending are encouraged to bring a sack lunch. Beverages are available for purchase at the church.
It's no secret that the movie industry tailors films for target audiences. Seems they're increasingly targeted by gender. Women are a big part of the movie audience, and the film industry's finally caught on. So here's The Vow, released just before Valentine's Day, when husbands and boyfriends take their sweeties to a movie that she'll like. And my guess is that most women will really enjoy The Vow, though most macho men will just endure it to get points from the ladies. The Vow opens with a scene with Leo, played by Channing Tatum, and his wife Paige, Rachel McAdams here, driving home from a movie on a snowy evening. The lovebirds are getting intimate in their car while stopped at a red light when a truck smashes into them from the rear, driving Paige to the windshield. The hospital saves her, but when she wakes up from a coma, she's lost her memory of the past 5 years, the time since she left her wealthy parents' home and law school to study at an art institute where she achieved success as a sculptor. This means she has no memory of her 2-year marriage to Leo, who's desperately in love with her. The film goes into flashbacks of their meeting, their courtship, and their marriage, and then to the present. Paige's fat cat father wants to take her home when she wakes up at the hospital because he disapproved of her marriage to Leo, who's not in their class. Leo fights for his wife. Will she come back to their apartment with him? She would remember nothing there. Will she stay with her parents, where she feels comfortable, since those are the memories she still retains? But something had happened to drive her away, and she's been totally estranged from her family for 5 years. What was it? Will she return to her former fiancé, a successful lawyer whom she dumped before leaving home for reasons she can't remember? Or will she find her way back to Leo? Well, this is a romance after all, so I'll let you draw your own conclusions. The Vow is a film expressly tailored for women. For one thing, hunky, buffed-out Channing Tatum adds a lot of beefcake. He often has his shirt off, and in one scene a lot more. But he also satisfies the requirements for what I call the myth of the sensitive male. He knows how to please his lady with the little things. When he proposes, he serves her pancakes with blueberries on top, spelling, "Will you marry me?" He uses the L word dozens of times. He pledges his undying attachment to Paige with his marriage vow by saying, "No matter what tears us apart, we'll always find a way back to each other." The lines establish, by the way, the title of the film and its theme. "I'm in a total physical, mental, and every other kind of love," he tells her. After the accident, he spends so much time with Paige, both before she gets out of the hospital and after, that his recording studio business is about to go under. But gender issues aside, if the vow is any indication, director Michael Sutsky and his screenwriters never saw a cliché they didn't like. Leo enacts the sensitive male of the women's film genre. Paige has two men in love with her to choose from, the standard romance plotline from the 18th century on. The film also works the gender gap cliché, with Paige's parents and their crowd being stuffy and controlling, while Leo and his young friends are free spirits with lots of creative energy and loyalty to each other. The vow has none of the clever irony and character development of the best women's films, such as The Proposal. But, clichés aside, if the ticket sales mean anything, a lot of people like The Vow. It won out at the box office on its opening weekend, though Valentine's Day surely helped it a lot, but it's still doing pretty well. I have to give the film credit for a good plot conflict, which is very reminiscent of 51st Dates. Director Sutsky works the Jekyll and Hyde personality of the Paige character and her transformations nicely. It's a pretty film with pretty people to look at. Rachel McAdams must have majored in cuteness in college. And it has excellent production values, so I'll give it 3 stars out of 5 as an okay but not very original genre film that women will probably love. And men? Maybe not so much.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.